Host your holiday party at Apex Entertainment this year. Book early and save. Receive a $15 Apex gift card for each guest with holiday parties booked before October 1st. With flexible event space, attractions, and customizable menus, Apex is the perfect holiday party destination. For more information, contact the sales team or go to apexentertainment.com.
B-Pod Studios.
They're Boston's number one afternoon show.
The most powerful sports radio show in New England.
America's number one afternoon sports show.
Yeah, but we're the biggest.
And number one in your heart.
And I just came here to help your ratings.
Sorry, John. Thank you. Don't need it.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
And again, the Patriots are back like they are winning it all. Will they do it this year? I don't know. Keep on thinking that because they've got a rookie quarterback that they can't. They might not. They probably won't.
Probably not.
But right now, they are crushing it. And yes, I'm the only one with a national resume that came on this program. And that came on this program. I'm the only one who came on this show 3 weeks ago and said that's a playoff team after week 7. Correct. Yes, and I'm willing to put that up against anybody else here, including all those people that I hear about what's going on back in New England, where they're talking about national voices overrating the Patriots. Because they're not happy in New England unless they're on their own home teams.
So he's got that right. Which part? All parts? I don't know. It's a Big Boy Tuesday with Greg Bedard. He's got that last part right. For sure. Does he got the first part right? Are the Patriots all the way back, Big Boy?
Pretty close.
Man, what are you cackling about already?
Just the way he said that. Big Boy. He gets I'm sure you were buttering yourself on Sunday.
Oh, the Crisco was out. The lid was off. It was a delight to watch the game film from that game.
Delight. Explain.
It was just really good to see the team execute at a high level on both sides of the ball. Now, I will say, I think the defensive performance, great. I don't know. I thought a lot of it was just the Browns just being terrible for some reason. I don't know the reason. I don't know if it was Baker. I don't know if it was Stefanski going away from the run or what. The Patriots certainly made adjustments, and those were really effective against the run after the first drive. But the offensive film and what they did on offense and how they did it with basically, to me, the story of the game was the offensive line. All right, maybe not Isaiah Wynn.
Yeah, this is stunning.
Yeah.
But the blocking, I heard you talk about it yesterday, and I had the same sense being in the press box on Sunday after the game. Like, this just felt different for Mac Jones and the passing offense and the offense in general. And what was the difference? And to me, after watching the film back, it was clear. The lack of pressure on Mac Jones. He had largely all day on every play. I had him being pressured, I think, 22% of the time, and some of those might have been generous for the Browns, where every other game, he's been over 30%, and we've talked about this over the years. For a pocket quarterback, anything over 30 is not good. Anything over 35 is almost a death sentence. You're going to have a tough time winning that game. And Mac Jones, the Patriots have been in that realm, 30 to 38% all year. It's been a theme. That's why early on in the season, when people wanted to pick apart a rookie quarterback and say, he's not doing this, or he's not doing that, or he's not throwing deep down the field, my whole thing was, he's getting pressured all the time. And now finally in this game, Mac Jones got a chance to just sit back. He had to adjust to it because he wasn't used to it. He rushed into a couple throws early because of his clock was still sped up.
So he thought he had to get it out, but he didn't.
Yeah, there was one play in particular. There was a third down crosser to, I think it was Kendrick Bourne. Could have been Jacoby Myers. But it was a contested throw, contested catch, right over the middle of the field. It was about 3rd and 6. I think they got about 9 yards. On that play, Mac went back to pass, and he started running He ran forward like three steps into the line, and there was no pressure. He had plenty of he had a really nice pocket, but because of what's carried over all season, he was sped up still a little bit. And then he realized, I have time.
The effects of negative conditioning is what you're saying, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm going to put this I'm going to give you some parameters, Greg.
Okay.
I'm going to ask you a simple question. I'm going to give you parameters so that we stay on the beam, okay?
Okay.
Assuming that they stay relatively healthy, okay? Assuming that they what the roster they have now is the roster they have going forward, how seriously should we take them?
I will say this as a caveat. I haven't watched the rest of the league. And quite frankly, I'm not doing this dance every week that everybody else does. Well, this team did this and that. I think this year with this NFL, whether it's – I think it's a convergence of factors. The COVID year last year, three preseason games, 17 games. If you are trying to judge who's good on a week-to-week basis, good luck to you. I'm not doing it until the last three or four games.
Okay. So how seriously should we take them?
I think you should take them very seriously.
Should we send you home until then January?
Oh, here we go.
6 minutes in, he's already pissed.
I mean, I you know what I was going to say to that. I mean, Stu,
what, it's not valid what I said?
Well, but it's a daily talk show.
So what? You do it. It's your show. I don't have a show. You have it. You look like an ass every day. I'm going to come in here and give you my opinion, all right?
And your
and
opinion
then you
is,
can be done within 2 hours.
And your opinion is, get back to me with 3 weeks left?
In it's terms of who's opinion. Really good in the AFC? Yeah.
That's not much of an opinion. That's not really an opinion. That's just you're just giving me the calendar.
I said, get back to me in December.
Okay, well, all right.
But
what should we talk about?
I want to get back to the very
Jimmy, shut up.
I want to get back to the very seriously part. The very seriously part.
And I said, very seriously.
So I missed the very seriously thing. I just
you
heard that.
Take them very
seriously.
You should take them
usual.
Very seriously. That's okay. What he said. Greg. Very seriously.
Greg, can we
Greg, I'm going to break this down for you. You're on the show as a panelist to give a daily opinion
Quiet.
Or an analysis,
Quiet.
All right?
Quiet.
That's your job today.
Quiet. Somebody cut his mic.
He's in charge of the mics.
Yeah. I have
a ton of power in here, Greg.
Greg, I have a question going back to the offensive line and you looking at
Wait, hang on. Let's finish with Mavs.
So good.
Right,
hold on.
Is there an opinion coming here?
I'll get back. December 16th.
What the hell?
Go ahead.
No, Tony, ask your question again.
So you take them
before moron, okay. Dumb and Dumber over here.
No, sorry. My question to you was, how seriously should
very.
Okay,
all
so
right?
define very. In other words, move
they're
on.
Right there. They're
move
right there. Now, I will say, the one thing that I want to see them do before I know what their ceiling is I want to see the Buffalo game. I mean, Tennessee is limited offensively. You know, Vrabel's going to do some things. I'm interested to see a couple things. When a smart team takes away Hunter Henry in the red zone, when a smart team takes care of Matthew Judon, when you have an offense that with a quarterback who will adjust things at the line and will go down the field like Josh Allen, how are the Patriots going to do? I think they'll do fine, but those are sort of the remaining questions that we have about this team.
Are people getting ahead of themselves? Are some people getting ahead of themselves?
I mean, it's Boston. Of course they are.
Well, Rich, we played your Rich Eisen, national guys, and they're back. They're going to win it. Maybe not this year, but they're going to win it. They're back.
Oh, they're definitely on an upward trajectory. I mean, it's a question of, you know, I think it's a question of when now. I mean, this is what a lot of us had envisioned for this team, where we said, this team will come together around midseason. The question is, will they be above water when that happens? And, look, first month of the season didn't mean all that much, did it?
Boy, you just cannot butter yourself enough.
No, it's just you would think when the Patriots win, everyone gets bitchier. It just happens.
No. It's just when people come on here and are your guest and you don't let them speak, they get bitchy.
Well, to bring on a guest and ask you a question, the answer is, I'll get back to me December 21st is really not much of an answer.
I was
today
getting
is November
to the
16th.
Answer in my way.
He has a process.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Greg, about the offensive line quick.
Yes.
No. Strike it, please. I can't do another offensive line question.
Yes.
How is the I'm sorry, Murray. How is the defense confusing quarterbacks? Because every
they're
quarterback
not.
Against this team looks like crap, so they're not confusing. And what are they?
They're just changing their coverages. It's nothing out of the ordinary. The Baker Mayfield interception was cover two trap. They run it often. It's nothing new. It's just that Baker Mayfield's an idiot. I mean, there was a play.
That was a horrible throw.
I mean,
horrible decision.
If Mac Jones made that throw, Zolak, me, everybody else would be ripping Mac Jones for a terrible read. He allowed himself to get fooled on a basic coverage. It was terrible quarterbacking play. And there was a play that I wanted to find in the second quarter, I think, that, yes. So the Browns had first and 10 at their own 33, 5:35 left. So this is where Baker Mayfield holds on to the ball, and then he ends up fleeing the pocket to the right and just throws it out of bounds.
Yeah.
This moron, the Patriots showed single high deep safety. Devin McCourty was there. Nobody else was there. It looked they did not change their coverage. It was single high with five under. It turned.
So they played what they showed.
They played what they showed. It became cover three, but not overly complicated. And Stefanski dialed up the exact kind of beater that you wanted to. He had two posts going at McCourty. The quarterback's job is to read McCourty, whichever way he favors, go the other way. He had two guys going right there. And what does Baker Mayfield, the moron, do? He just stares in the left flat and doesn't throw it there. And then the play was there. Should have been about a 50-yard play. But because he's a moron, not because of what the Patriots did, it turned into an incomplete pass. There were a lot of plays like that on Sunday.
So I guess the question is, Who can figure it out that they're facing? Can Matt Ryan figure it out? Because again, you're saying it's
not
really more
personnel.
You know, quarterback incompetence versus what the Patriots are doing. Was that the case with Justin Herbert? Was that the case with Sam Darnold? Is that going to be the case with Matt Ryan? You know, do you still think they're susceptible to good quarterback play? And that
I mean, like
expose
I said,
them.
You know, I think with Herbert, the Chargers are one dimensional. They play like I said last week. I know that the Patriots, if you only do one thing well on defense, the Patriots will be able to defense that. You know, it was the pass for the Chargers because they barely run the ball. And then it was the running game for the Panthers. You know, shut that down, make Darnold beat you. Same thing with Baker Mayfield. They made adjustments in the running game. Once they started seeing Betonio pull, they would just slam into the line. They never ran boot action off of that to burn the Patriots. And, you know, now, to me, the Titans... Maybe I haven't watched them a ton. I don't know where they are with Derrick Henry, but to me, how good this defense is, the Bills game December 6th is the referendum in Buffalo Monday night. That offense, that's the referendum.
I sort of feel like you're in a pickle there because you have been down relative, you know, to the field. You've been down on Buffalo and that quarterback, you know, compared to most people.
I just said he's good. He's not great yet. Just the same way where I was with Andrew Luck.
You know, the thing you said about, you know, you're waiting to see a team take away Henry in the red zone, focus on Judon on the other side of the ball, I take as like really good news because that means the Patriots have something that they're hanging their hat on, that they're doing really well. And I, you know, for a lot of the year, I think it was one of those things where we looked at the team and said, there's nothing to focus on. There's nothing that you need to take away on this team. And now they're building some things, an identity, if you will, that an opponent has to look at if they're smart enough and say, we start with this and that. And I think even just a month ago, they didn't have this and that. So I think that's even movement right there as it is. All right. So I guess the question, are they back? Are they back? Or are we still sort of waiting to see what they are?
Talk to me February 14th.
Right now, November 16th, Maz, are they back? Or are we still waiting to see what they are?
They're back.
Murray?
Back.
I think they're back too.
They're back. We just don't know the ceiling yet.
Oh, so there's movement. There's movement.
Greg's got the big game wrong, though.
Okay. Maz will tell you what the big game is, and we'll take your calls at 617-779-0985 right after this.
This Sports Hub on-demand content is brought to you by Coastal Heritage Bank. At Coastal Heritage Bank, they have the privilege of being a community bank committed to enriching the lives of their neighbors, including helping customers become homeowners. Visit CoastalHeritageBank.com to learn about their comprehensive line of mortgage products, including their first-time homebuyer program. Coastal Heritage Bank, growing together. Member FDIC, member DIF, equal housing lender, NMLS number 45145.
This is purely a take that exists in my head.
Getting into your head.
Tell you what's in our head.
With hot sports takes.
And we share it with you.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
I'm seeing a pea shooter, but boy, is that good. Like, man, oh, man. But
what is he really, doing
what,
so
what
well?
What I'm saying is this. Look, he lacks the arm talent. But when he came out, why is he not the first guy taken? Mm-hmm. All right, he was clearly the best player in college football last year. Mm-hmm. Why was he not taken? Why? Because his ceiling isn't high, because he doesn't have the arm talent of other quarterbacks. What he has is the intangibles, though. Mm-hmm. That's what we're seeing. This kid is smart as unbelievable how smart he is.
Yeah.
As a rookie, too, it's crazy. But he throws the ball with timing and anticipation, and he throws it before people are open. He throws people open. That's what you have to do in the National Football League. That's what Baker Mayfield doesn't do. And that's why this kid is outperforming Baker Mayfield.
That was Rex Ryan with, I guess, a pea shooter, mea culpa. I don't know.
He's a smart pea shooter, apparently.
Not a pea shooter.
I want to remind you that Greg Bedard's appearance is brought to you by the Granite Group. The Granite Group is an award-winning distributor of Mitsubishi Electric's heating and air conditioning systems with locations across Massachusetts and New England. Learn more at customizedcomfort.com. Before I go to the phones, Maz, what is the game that determines what the Patriots are or not?
It's a Tennessee game. It's not the Buffalo game. And I'll tell you why I put emphasis on the Tennessee game, Greg, because of Vrabel. Mm-hmm. Vrabel will do some of the things that you're talking about. Vrabel will try to negate Judon. Vrabel will try to take Hunter Henry out at the goal line because Vrabel knows how Bill thinks. So I think one of the major prerequisites in beating the Patriots is to have a coach who isn't crapping down his pant legs when he goes up against the Patriots, particularly in Foxborough. So I just think that's a huge, huge part of it. Vrabel will not be scared when he comes in here. He'll have a game plan, and he'll have a game plan that counteracts in some ways what the Patriots are going to have. Will they win the game? I have no idea. But he'll be the first guy that challenges the way they think. He'll be the first guy that challenges that. So I like where they are. I mean, it's hard not to, and they obviously don't have Derrick Henry, and I'm not sure I believe in Tannehill. But I believe in Vrabel, and I believe in Vrabel's fearlessness more than anything else.
I just like Bedard's take early in that first segment when we got something out of him there. Who's going to be the first coach that takes away 85 in the red zone? Pretty simple, right? I mean, what's the percentage of targets in there when they're down low? Take him away? And I mean, it's not like, I mean, I'm not saying that shuts you down, but you got to start somewhere.
Of course.
And focus on Judon and Barmore inside and see what else, if anyone else can get home one-on-one. You know, like, I don't know. The Patriots might have become game plan worthy. I don't think they were game plan worthy over the first 2 months. So there's that. All right. Your thoughts with the big boy, Greg Bedard from Boston Sports Journal. Philip in Winchester, lead us off. Go ahead, Philip.
Hey, guys. Big fan. Great program. I had a quick question. When you look at Jonnu Smith's production this year, he's not even a top 20 tight end from a yards perspective. So I have two questions. You know, one, when are you ready to write him off as not being a successful addition to the squad this year? And then two, who would you guys look for greater production as the season continues?
Thanks. Hey, Greg, you can take that one.
Well, I think I'm not ready to bury Jonnu. It has not been a good start. He obviously lost confidence and hasn't been able to regain it. Now he's going through some physical stuff. His lack of football instincts with the ball in his hands has been a little bit alarming. He sort of plays like the Brandon Cooks of tight ends. Looks like $1 million, but you know, once they have to make a move or make a play, can they do it? I'm not ready to write him off. Everybody takes coming to a new team, and this is part of the downside of going into free agency, having to rely on free agency, is you just don't know what you're going to get when you get these guys in the building or when it's going to click. Luckily for the Patriots, and I thought one of the great signs is, you know, on the third downs that Mac was completing and on the touchdowns, it seemed like every time it was somebody different, which is good and a great sign for this offense. And I feel I'm more confident in the offense going forward in many ways than the defense. But I think that as far as production at tight end, it ain't going to bring anybody in this year. It's, you know, it's going to be Jonnu Smith. It's going to be Lacoste. It's going to be Devin Asiasi.
Yes, Anthony.
I've given up on Jonas Smith. I have. I just wanted to raise my hand to indicate that I have given up. I think it's over. I don't think this guy gets it. I think he's a bad fit for them because he's an athletic guy that doesn't have football instincts, and it doesn't feel to me like I would say football acumen or high football IQ. He might be a split the atom for all I know. But in terms of how they want to play, doesn't work.
King in Boston. Yes, King.
Yeah, real quick. Hey, Murray, I know that your pants off for Tampa, but I am too. We should be real concerned about that secondary and that defense. That defense is not as good as last year. And can everyone stop giving Mac Jones the praise that he's that good? I mean, he's good. He had a good game, but it's more about the defense and what the O-line did to free up the rushing game. And it's more about Cleveland's defense crapping itself. Like Myles Garrett said, they haven't switched up since they were down 21-7 in that game.
So, you know, I think you would have been right up until Sunday. I think Sunday, I don't know, I don't think it's quite right to say Mac Jones led them to the win, but
no,
he helped get them there. I mean, mm-hmm. early on, those, you know, he gave him helped give him the 21-7 lead. I know 7 of the points was an interception return, but you know,
he made throws that I think showed you if they get a lean on him, he can make them and he can win you a game.
When the game was in the balance, I thought he was a big part of the victory, which I don't think you've been able to say in some of these wins. So I don't know.
That, and you have to give Josh McDaniels a lot of credit. He spun the dial offensively. The Browns had no idea what was coming between, especially those sequences where he had, you know, inside run, reverse, screen. The Browns were like basically running into each other. And I'm glad the caller, King, brought up Myles Garrett. Just speaking of how moronic the Browns are, how long has Myles Garrett been in the league? And we all know he's immensely talented. Like, when is he going to look around to say, is somebody going to crack me on this, you know, rush? I'm pretty good. Teams are going to give me attention. I need to be on the lookout for chips, cracks. I remember being with the Houston Texans behind the scenes for that game plan story, and they talked about how, like, oh, well, this team's going to come in short motion, so you got to alert crack on this.
So what are you saying?
So Myles Garrett's lined up there. N'Keal Harry's cracking him all game long, and Myles Garrett is still, like, looking straight at the quarterback. Like, if that's the Patriots, if it's Kyle Van Noy or one of the Patriots, they're looking around. Oh, is somebody coming in short motion and being right next to me and about to whale me?
So you're saying there's no awareness on that defense?
There's nothing.
No coaching.
That's like basic NFL 101 stuff.
Chuck and Methuen. Go ahead, Chuck.
So this is a team that's 6-4, and that could it beat Dallas, a good team? Could it beat Tampa, a good team? But what I'm hearing is that the only reason they're winning is because the other teams stink and they don't know what they're doing. From a guy who knows cover three, he knows cover high, cover low, cover this, cover that. When do you get to say the Patriots have good players, they're well coached, and they can beat anybody on, you know, it's the NFL.
Yeah, no.
They can beat
anybody.
So I know
we asked him when, and he said sometime in December.
Yeah, well, this is the way the Patriots do it. And I mean, enough of, they got good players. So admit it.
The best players.
Oh, here we go.
Yes.
No, see, this it's that tone that irritates the crap out of
me. No, so easy to root for. I don't know. I'm all behind you, man.
I don't think I said anything.
How come we didn't hear from that guy when they were 2-4?
Chris and Everett, go ahead, Chris. What do you got?
So I think the turning point of the season can kind of be drawn to two things, one on the offense and one on the defense. My offense was when they put Harris inside at guard and when they moved Owenu out to the right tackle. And then for the defense, everybody points to Belichick kind of taking big Belichick, not little Belichick, taking over the defense after the Dallas game. I also do have one quick question, though, for Bedard. Is the reason why Owenu is now, like, back to the bench and Brown is actually the right tackle and they're keeping Win at left tackle because they're going to rotate Owenu in and out just because of insurance?
Okay, you know what?
Brown goes out.
Let me do this, because this is an important offensive line question, and I know Greg's all lathered up to talk about it. Trent Brown stayed on the right side, Win stayed at tackle. Maz wants Win, you know, knocked inside because, frankly, he's sucked all year. So it kind of relates to that question. We'll get your take on it, Greg, coming up in 3 Up, 3 Down, right after Big Jim Murray gets you updated.
This Sports Hub on-demand content is brought to you by Miller Lite. Miller Lite, official partner of the Boston Celtics, would like to say cheers to 75 years of Boston Celtics basketball, to 17 banners, to the players, coaches, and staff from yesterday and today. And, of course, cheers to Celtics fans everywhere. So raise the original light beer to this storied franchise and cheers to another 75 years of Boston Celtics basketball. From your friends at Miller Lite, it's game time, it's Miller time.
This is the place Boston sports fans come to get some positive vibes for their teams.
Anything but. It's time to panic.
Well, maybe not. Now, back to reality with Felger and Maz.
And now, it's time for three.
Jones with time. Throwing the deep ball down the left side.
What a throw!
Three down.
This is one of the worst throws he's had.
With Greg Bedard from BostonSportsJournal.com. Three up.
Bucks win the Super Bowl. And then the cannons go. Fire him. Keep on firing him.
Three down.
He sucks.
He blows.
On Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
All right, three up, three down. So big, so powerful. It's been sold. Three up, three down with Greg Bedard is presented by Tullamore Dew Irish Whiskey. Enjoy the game with a triple distilled, triple cask matured, and triple blended Tullamore Dew Irish Whiskey. That makes me thirsty saying that. Game time is Tully time. Please drink responsibly. Number one star from this game, Greg.
Ramondre Stevenson. He looks the part of a franchise running back. He's got power. He's got speed. He helps out in the passing game. They have a real sort of thunder and lightning thing brewing there with Harrison Stevenson. It's good stuff.
Mac Jones. The passing game went to a higher level than it has been in a long, long time. And you have to have a quarterback that can put those throws in those small windows, which he did. I thought he was great.
Number two.
Mac Jones. Seven-plus plays, and almost all of them were outstanding. I had him for 1.5 minus plays. I quibbled with a couple decisions. The deep ball to Aguilar. I didn't hate that one, but Hunter Henry was open. And then he threw one to Stevenson late in the flat for no gain, left flat. He had both N'Keal Harry and Aguilar had chances to make plays. And I think even McDaniels got in his ear, because as soon as after that play on the All-22, you see Mac motioning to the sideline like, I saw this.
Got it, yeah.
Christian Barmore. Every time we talk about the defense, we say, well, it changed when Bill took control of the defense. This is when it changed, that when it changed. I think it changed when Barmore became a factor on that defense.
Third star, Gregory.
Certainly could have put him there. I went with Bourne and Trent Brown. I couldn't separate the two. I thought Bourne really brought, especially with the reverses, his speed brought a playmaking ability to this defense that they need more of. Playmakers are starting to emerge. And Trent Brown, just very powerful on the right side. Wasn't perfect. He had some iffy plays, but I had him for 5 crushing run blocks. He had one where he blocked 2 Browns at the same time. He was incredible on one of the rushing touchdowns. Just really good stuff.
Okay, so answer the caller's question about Wynn staying at tackle and Owenu, and why not move Wynn inside and Trent Brown to left tackle and blah, blah, blah.
Because it's not easy. It's not easy to just snap your finger and say, plug this guy in. They obviously came down to, at least for this week, and maybe they just wanted to see how it looked with Trent. And I do think what the caller alluded to, that they kept Owenu out because they thought they might have to rotate or Trent might get hurt or something like that. So they were like, well, let's just, instead of having to move a bunch of different pieces during the game, let's just settle on this. But the case can be made, and I would certainly make it, that Ted Karras has been your best left guard this year over Michael Wenu, the PFF darling. He's if not the highest rated Patriots player by PFF, he's up there.
I had Trent Brown third too. I don't think it's a coincidence the Patriots had their best game when they had a whale on the defensive line who was turned into a dominant player, and a whale at right tackle on the offensive line.
Okay, three duds. This must have been tough, honestly.
It was hard.
Isaiah Wynn. Patriots allowed...
All right, sorry, not that hard. Yeah. Go ahead.
Patriots allowed 7 pressures in the game. Isaiah Wynn had 4.5 of them, including that penalty that probably wiped out a touchdown right before halftime, so he probably cost the team 4 points.
So if you're the coach, what do you do?
I wish I had more data from practice. Like, has Wynn ever played anywhere other than left tackle? To what we know, he has not. Has Trent Brown played any place other than right tackle this year?
Wynn's never played anywhere else other than left tackle in a game. Is that right?
I don't think even in practice.
They haven't moved him around
at all. I think early his rookie year, they might have taken a look at guard or maybe right tackle. But since then, it's been left tackle the whole way.
Well, that's rare.
I mean, if you were looking for... And I don't know, can Trent Brown right now, can he play left tackle? I don't know that. especially with
did
this staff thing.
Did he ever?
Here.
Yeah,
here
he did
left
here.
Yeah. That's the last time. He went to Vegas, and he played all right tackle.
Okay, interesting.
He played 2 years of college as a guard, Isaiah Wynn.
Yeah, no, obviously.
Not in the NFL.
Right,
no.
He was a right. Usually here, they're moving you around just as a matter of course.
Yeah.
All right, interesting. Next.
I had Isaiah Lewis as number one.
Number two dud there.
He blows.
Second dud.
Adrian Phillips. He had some issues in the running game. Some of the running early, they got caught with Phillips in a light box, and that was one of the adjustments, and he got blocked rather easily. Also gave up the touchdown in the back of the end zone, had a couple other iffy plays. So not one of his better games, but not bad or anything.
Carl Davis, 18 snaps, jumped offside. Bill yelled at him. Look, it was a tough day. They were
it's
all good.
Tough day.
Okay, they were all good. So what do you want me to tell you? But he wasn't out there long, and one of the times he was, he couldn't get off the snap right.
Okay, third dud there, Gregory.
Jacoby Myers, the punt returner.
Oh, yeah, brutal.
Feel the ball.
Brutal. Go catch the ball. Fair catch. I mean, Troy Brown should have ran over to him and said, just, dude, put your hand up and catch the ball.
I mean, I thought the game was all about hidden yardage. They had a little bit of an issue with that on Sunday.
Troy is the best at that I've ever seen.
Yep.
Troy Brown was the best at judging when to catch it, let it hit, and Troy wasn't exactly Deion Sanders as a return guy, although he was plenty good. But it's just so instinctive.
He must have been sick on the sideline.
Just freaking fair catch the ball. What are you doing? Sorry. Next.
Oh, I considered Shaq Mason for the holding penalty that turned second and four into first and 20. But ultimately, I settled on Nelson Aguilar because everybody else that Jones threw to, he completed just about every ball except Aguilar. So, F you, you lose this week.
Okay. There's your three up, three down. We've done it in a timely fashion, so we'll go back to your calls here with Greg. But, Murray, what was your offensive line question for Greg?
Well, it was about Trent Brown as to whether or not he was truly the linchpin here because, you know, Greg came in and said, you know, all of a sudden it looked different for Mac Jones. He had all this time. This is the best it's looked. Is Trent Brown truly the linchpin to all of that?
The short answer is no. I mean, Owenu was capable of playing well. I think it was Trent Brown certainly played very well, as evidenced from three up, three down. I do think that Josh McDaniels deserves a lot of credit for, you know, part of his scheming helped scheme open some stuff. But there's no question. I think Mac Jones takes some solace in having the big fella over there at right tackle. Probably gives him a little bit more comfort.
Okay, to your phones here, as promised. Ryan in Malden. What do you got, Ryan?
Hey, what's going on, guys? So this was a great win against the Browns. It was a good win, but I think the real test is going to be next week against the Titans. Maz, you alluded to it earlier, you know, with Vrabel coaching, you know, he knows the ins and outs. And with Tannehill, you know, the Titans are a good team, solid team. And I think next week will be a real good test for the Pats to see how good they really are.
Okay, I mean, and I would agree, like, sort of individually, the tests. I mean, I think just the stacking wins is crossing a threshold and, you know, proving yourself to be something. Even if, you know, each individually in a vacuum is a winnable game or a bad opponent or a bad quarterback, when you start stacking them, I mean, that's what the good teams in the league do, and that's how they get home field in the playoffs is how they win division. That's the whole thing. I need to explain that to you. So it's like, to me, it's not necessarily that you beat the Jets or the Browns. It's that you've won four in a row, and it should be five in a row, and that to me is the thing.
So my point about naming the Bills, it wasn't about the team. It was about the defense. I think the defense will be tested more against Buffalo in that atmosphere, Monday Night Football, all those weapons, Josh Allen, he can run, he can pass, what he can do, all that stuff. The team, there's no question. The team, the Titans are the test. The Titans will be tough. They'll be Mike Vrabel. And Vrabel will have some stuff that'll piss off Bill, and Vrabel's going to be over there with his little smirk.
Love
and
it.
All this stuff, and it's great, and it's going to be – that is a playoff battle. I mean, I don't know how much I believe in the Bills, but the defense against the Bills, that's what I want to see. That is a challenge for this defense.
Long commercial-free segment is next. Don't go anywhere.
The beauty of business is its ability to solve human problems and to bring those solutions to scale.
Bentley University President Ela Brent Kreit explains how good business can make the world a better place.
Bentley is uniquely positioned to prepare students for a 21st century marketplace. The intersection of business and the arts and science is where magic can occur. That's what we do. That's what we bring to the table. And that's the difference at Bentley.
Thanks.
Felger and Maz.
Those guys are always trouble. I want nothing to do with this guy.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Here's what we thought. When he got drafted at 15, when they were talking about him at number three, we had to say some negative things about Mac Jones because he didn't have some of the measurables, we didn't think he should have went three. But everybody who sat on Get Up, everybody who was at the draft said
he should have
15 will be the perfect spot. If he goes to New England, that's the perfect spot. When he did the hopscotch up to the stage, you know why?
Yeah.
Because he knew it was the perfect spot. And if I was one of the other 14 teams, you know what I would have did? I would have drafted Mac Jones, not because I want him on my team, because I didn't want him to go to New England, because this is what was going to happen. They were going to play excellent defense with Bill Belichick. Josh McDaniels was going to understand how to utilize this quarterback to the best of his abilities, and that's what we see. When we watch the New England Patriots, this is a book. This is a script. This is the Bible of what to do with a rookie quarterback.
Yeah.
Everybody else who drafts one, y'all need to go work with Josh McDaniels, work with Bill Belichick, and say, hey, man, give me the transcript, because this is working beautifully.
It's Ryan Clark on Get Up yesterday. Maz liked that one.
Oh, I loved it. Again, just to sit there. I just like it anytime someone's driving force is fight for the Patriots. So Ryan Clark, since he was, you should have taken him just so Belichick wouldn't have gotten him, you idiots.
So how they're handling, you know, I say, you know, are people getting ahead of themselves with the Patriots? And he says, well, there's people around here. I think around here there's, well, the bandwagon's going around here. But it, nationally, I think it's swelling. The bandwagon is swelling nationally. And even Ryan Clark, it's the Bible on how to handle a rookie quarterback. I mean, it's strong. I tend to agree. Like, I like the way they've handled the kid.
He's definitely in the best situation, but some of this is on him too, Mac Jones. Like, he's got the it thing, you know, that you're looking for in one of these quarterbacks. And this team, they're going to play Thursday night. How do you think they feel right now? Matt Ryan was the answer. They go with Kyle Pitts. They're not looking at Mac Jones and being like, oh my God, we should have taken him.
Do you think Atlanta's looking at Mac Jones and saying we should have taken him? I mean, they weren't, obviously it was what, they were four overall. I don't know. If I were Atlanta, I might be looking at it and saying we should have taken
him. Matt Ryan's not the answer at this point in his career.
No,
Come on.
Exactly. He's not. So what, I'm sorry.
No, they're idiots.
I guess I missed your point. You're saying Atlanta is looking at this and saying we should have taken
him. They should be.
Yeah, I agree they should be.
Oh, yeah, I think there were a lot of teams that are looking at that now because they said we're misevaluating the position and we missed it.
Well, so I wonder about that. So I do wonder, I'm sorry, I guess I just missed your point, Murray. They might be, except do you look at Mac Jones and say he is just a product of their system? I mean, the physical talents still don't jump off the page. I mean, certainly he threw some terrific balls in the game on Sunday, but he doesn't have elite arm talent. I mean, it's not popping anyway, and he certainly doesn't run around like most of the guys. So do you think teams look at it and say that's just a function of Belichick and the pieces around him, or is that kid really someone we should have drafted number four overall?
I think it's the situation. And we all talked about it, that I thought this was the best situation, not only for Mac Jones, but for a rookie quarterback to come in and be effective because of the offensive line that we're seeing now and the defense and, you know, how he will get coached. I mean, but I still think a lot of this stuff goes back to nature versus nurture with the quarterback. I think how a quarterback is developed and where he is. Like, look at Marcus Mariota. Tennessee, he had like five different OCs in 5 years. He gets washed out. Baker Mayfield had Hugh Jackson, then Freddie Kitchens, and now he's with Stefanski. And it's the same thing. Like, you know, last week you asked the question, would you rather have Baker Mayfield or Mac Jones? And we all answered Baker Mayfield. And my response wasn't Baker Mayfield what you see now. It was Baker Mayfield from incubation with Josh McDaniels and Bill Belichick.
Yeah.
That's a huge thing. I don't think if the Patriots drafted over again and they had the first pick in the draft, I think they'd take Trevor Lawrence or Zach Wilson just because they have a higher ceiling.
And I'm a big believer in the nature. Well, nature versus nurture. Well, I don't know which one. I'm which one is which? All I know is I think the environment and the team and the program you come into is huge, huge.
That's nurture.
Yep. Okay, nurture. I'm into the nurture part of it. Thank you. I just think it's. I think some quarterbacks come in the league and have no chance. They just have no chance. So some guys are so freaking talented that they can just break through whatever situation they were handed. Peyton Manning, you know.
Look at Aaron Rodgers with stability in Green Bay with Mike McCarthy and sitting versus being drafted by the 49ers.
Was a good situation, yep. And McCarthy did a good job with them in those days. And so, I just think it's huge. I do, and Mac Jones is benefiting from it. If that leads you to be sensitive about that, I can't help you. Stephen Weymouth. Go ahead, Steve.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. First time, long time. So you guys have spent the past year and a half blasting the Pats for letting Brady go. So my question is for Big Jim. What level of success do the Pats have to hit this season for the Brady departure to be worth it? Do they have to make the AFC, the Super Bowl? What level? Thanks. I'll hang up.
Look, if the kid continues to look like how he looked on Sunday and they go on a play, if they get into the playoffs and win a game, I think that shows you, all right, they have a plan here. It's a year late, but they finally found a plan at the most important position.
Why was it wrong to rip the Patriots when they didn't have a quarterback and Brady was winning in Tampa? Why was it wrong to do that?
Well, it wasn't, but, you know, now people are feeling themselves.
Boy,
and
they
now
are
it's,
feeling themselves.
I don't think they're he said it was wrong. Up. I don't think he just pointed out that we did it. He didn't say it was wrong, just to be fair.
Yeah, but the way he said it was implying that we were
tone.
Wrong.
Yeah, there was tone. I'm going to let it go.
I read into it.
Yeah, I think a bit too much. He was far less bitchy than many others.
Yes, that's right. On the bitch meter, he was, you know.
Very low.
But given what has transpired here in the last week or so, he was actually pretty mild. He was acceptable. I could handle that one.
No, the quarterback looks like he can play, right? So they get into the playoffs, they win a game. I think that's, all right, look, we have something here. I think you already know you have something here.
You people are a bunch of D-bags.
I hated the fact that they didn't have a transition. I hated the way Bill handled it. I hated Cam Newton as the bridge guy. And I don't take back a thing I said for a year and a half. I still think I'm right, 100% right. If Bill lands on his feet and gets the guy that works in his system within, what, he just has to wait a draft and we really had to wait a year and a half, was really the a year and a half sort of a reset period, on balance, he will have landed on his feet and it would have been okay. Honestly, I'd much prefer the guy be here and be ready to go when Brady leaves. When he walks out the door, here's the next guy. I love that sort of thing. But a year and a half, a year really is really, that's okay. It'll all come out in the wash.
Yeah, look, in the big picture, it'll be fine. I still don't excuse him for the gap. Cam Newton was a horrible plan, and they took too long to draft the next guy.
Agreed.
So well, I'm not letting go of those.
I mean, I would just say, look, I understand the Patriots have won 4 games in a row, and they look pretty good, and they're building to something good, and the Bucs are struggling at the same time. Okay, I understand that. It's a long season, and today, who's closer to winning the Super Bowl title?
Tampa.
Tampa or New England?
Oh, Tampa.
And Tampa could go back-to-back Tampa. With Tom Brady.
Tampa.
So I would just slow the roll a little bit.
Steve in Maine. Hi, Steve.
Hey, first time, long time. I'm just curious. I've been looking at the schedule, and I agree with Maz and Bedard both. I think those two games are going to be the most important. I hope they rip off the next 3, but I wouldn't be surprised. I hope I'm wrong, but they could end up, what are they, so 7-6 at the bye. Would anybody be surprised about that? I mean, I think they're right, though. I think those two games are going to be crucial.
If they end up 7-6 at the bye, I'd be disappointed. But I have to look at it and do the math in front of me. What does that mean? Who would they have lost to?
Well, they got, that means that they would have lost to Buffalo and Tennessee. You got to win one of those games. Okay. Ideally, I want them to go 2-0, and I think that that's in play. I don't think that's impossible. But, you know, you win 2 out of the next 3, you're 8-5, you're in good shape.
We've got Mike in Danvers. Go, Mike.
Yeah, listen. So there are those that will jump on the bandwagon, and then there are those who follow Bill and understand how Bill works.
Mike, I'm sorry, your phone's just not going to cut it today. It calls back. Go to a different zone. Bob in New Hampshire. Go, Bob.
Hi. Great show again today. Quick question. 2 questions, and I'll hang up. First question, for the last 5 years or so, draft and free agents, awful. I mean, just really abysmal for 5 years. And then all of a sudden, the 3 first choices out of the draft are great players, and their free agency is spectacular, with 1 or 2 exceptions. What caused the change?
Okay, excellent question. I'm just going to cut you right there. It was a big turnaround personnel-wise. Is there any common denominator there, Greg, or did the cards just turn hot for Bill Belichick?
No, I think just like with, say their offense struggles or defense struggles, Bill looks at what's wrong. I mean, he had to have been a little bit embarrassed about what was on the field last year. He's no idiot. He knows how slow they were and old and, ineffective on offense. And so he set out to, you know, rectify his ills.
Is there anything internally that changed?
I think Bill turned over a little bit more personnel to Ziegler and company, as far as leaning on their opinions more than, you know, say his own. But then again, you look at where Bill got his draft picks from. He didn't exactly stray outside his, you know, comfort box, you know. So I think there's a I just think Bill realized where he was. He got a kick in the ass because, you know, Brady's running up the score on him, and he knew he had to answer. Things had to change, and so he set out to do it. Did he just, you know, put more effort himself into the draft and free agency? Possibly.
I think he stopped screwing around. I don't know if that's Ziegler or something from the owner or whatever, but there were no reachy, you know, second-round picks on defensive backs. Unless there were, no, they weren't. There was Barmore, right? There was no more reachy picks and no more long snappers, no more freaking
field goal kickers.
You know, like all that trash that you just looked at and said, what is that? What are you doing there? And like that just sort of ended overnight. So I don't know if that was just him saying, all right, I'm going to stop screwing around, or the owner said, stop screwing around, or the Ziegler had the calls or whatever. But I do feel there was a change in there.
Yeah, look, you know, he likes to take the stage away from people, right? Well, maybe after getting his ass kicked and losing the stage to Brady, his focus sharpened.
Mm-hmm. Pick this up on the other side. Greg Bedard says the Bills are a big game coming up for the Patriots, yet he doesn't necessarily love the Bills. Let's try and square that away after Murray gets you updated. 90 seconds, no commercials here.
In business, setbacks change everything. So get Comcast Business Internet, now with Security Edge. It helps protect every device that's connected, so you can be ready for what's next.
Restrictions apply. Security Edge requires Comcast Business Internet. Actual speeds vary.